blow your mind when you get to looking at it.
And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you see them if you want to, as many as possible, if I can dig them out here. I'm going to bring you a whole lesson, one more, Lord willing, next week, on the New King James. That's what's called the New King James Bible. And I'm going to show you the difference in it and why it is not acceptable to be used in churches. And this morning, I'm going to talk about some of these departures from the faith in these other versions. I've got here this New World Translation. That's Jehovah's Witness Bible. And I don't know where my other ones are. I've got them laying around up here somewhere. And we're going to show you some different things about them. Now, we've went over a lot of things. If you haven't been here in Sunday school, I ain't got time to go over all this again. You just missed it. But one of the claims of the new modern versions of the Bible is they all claim to be clearer. Have you noticed that? You walk in a bookstore and somebody will try to sell you one, and the average Christian don't know the difference. So they ask this lady behind the desk, they say, "What's the difference in the King James Version and this version?" And they always say the same thing. What do they say? Nothing. It just is a little easier to understand. That's the standard line. There really ain't no difference. It's just easier to understand. Now, neither one of those is true. There is a big difference, and it's not easier to understand. And we told you about the curd and the slime in the purslane and the slimy juice in the marshmallow and all the different what they say, and your King James Bible said white of an egg. Now, which one of them is easier to understand? Which is easiest to understand, white of an egg or slime in the purslane? Now, which one's easier to understand, curd or butter? Which one is easier to understand, Sheol or hell? Go out there on the street corner uptown this morning and get out there and say, "The Bible says if you reject Christ, you will be turned into Sheol." Ain't nobody going to let people look at you like, "What's he doing?" Then go out there and say, "If you don't get saved, you're going to hell." Everybody out there knows what you mean, right? Amen. So the new versions are not necessarily clearer. They're muddy. They just muddy up the issue. Then we talked about the plan of salvation in Acts 8:37. One of the greatest examples of a man being saved by grace in the New Testament is Acts 8:37, where the Ethiopian eunuch was talking to Philip, and Philip looked at this old boy and he said, "Well, you won't get saved." And that old boy said, "Here's water. Can I get baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you can." That's a prerequisite to baptism. Man can't get baptized till he first believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the new Bibles, it don't say nothing. Verse 37 is out. Verse 37 is out in the New World Translation. Verse 37 is out in the RSV. I believe it's RSV. Verse 37 is out in the NIV. The New International Version used by the Baptist churches doesn't even have the plan of salvation in Acts 8:37. I don't know. Brother Roy, you taping this? Okay. It's not even in there. Then we went on to Luke 23:42, where the Lord, for the dying thief, looked over at the Lord, and he said, "Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And in the new modern versions, it says, "Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What'd they do? They took the old dying thief's salvation right out of his mouth. He didn't confess him as Lord. Now listen, brother, that book says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, the reason they done that, I don't have time to go into all that again, was because of the teaching that was popular during that day that the Christ, whatever that was, descended on Jesus when he was 30 years old and stayed on him for 3.5 years, and left him when he got on the cross. So he was not Lord when he was dying on the cross. He was a mere man. And that's where that teaching comes from. That's why the modern versions of the Bible doesn't say Jesus there instead of Lord. Because on the cross, they said when sin came on him, the Christ departed and he was just a man dying for sin. Which, of course, is a heresy. He was the Son of God when he opened his eyes in the manger in Bethlehem. He was Lord when he's 2 years old. Amen. When he was 2 year old baby, having to have a diaper changed, he was the Lord God manifest in flesh. And we can't understand that, but he was incarnated God at his birth. You know, it's coming up Christmas time. It ain't gonna be no, we're just gonna turn around and it's gonna be Christmas here pretty soon. And one of the things I like about Christmas is you get to talk a lot about that God being manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God in flesh. And of course the new Bibles are wrong. A lot of those verses that talk about him being God in the flesh is wrong. I'll guarantee you this one here is wrong on every one of them. You know why? Because the Jehovah Witness does not believe that he was God in the flesh. Now look, you know the difference between us and Jehovah Witness? Well, Jehovah Witness says there's no hell, and Jesus wasn't God in the flesh, so we write our Bible to suit what we believe. We say it don't matter what we think or what we believe, what saith the Scripture? See? The way you know a false cult is they twist the Bible to fit what they already believe. A Christian comes to the Bible and says, it don't matter what I believe or how I've been taught, what saith the Word of God? Now, if a person, well, of course, you know, we can't blame all that on the Jehovah Witness. There's some old timers around this part of the country that are just as bad as any Jehovah Witness that's ever lived. They're stuck in tradition. They're stuck in that, what you call, pool hall scripture that their mamas passed on down from their mamas and their mamas. And every tub going to set on its own bottom. And cleanliness is next to godliness. And anything a mouse touches, you burn. Amen. That's what they believe. And ain't none of that in the Bible. And boy, I tell you what, buddy, listen. We got some old-timers right here in the mountains of North Carolina that is just as stubborn and knot-headed and stuck on tradition as any cult in the world. I've been in Baptist churches. You can show them, look here what the Bible said. I'll tell you one thing, I've always believed this. I believed this when I was a little boy, and my daddy believed it, and I don't care what the Bible said. That's their attitude. If you ever get like that, you're in bad shape. Man gets like that, he's in bad shape. Now listen, I'm pretty dogmatic on what I believe. But I don't ever, ever, ever want to get so dogmatic that if you show me something in the Bible that I'm too stubborn and bullheaded to change what I think and go along with the Bible. Lord have mercy, folks. You know, there's a lot of people who won't even listen to you. If you say something against what they believe, they'll just turn you off, won't even listen to you. If a man can show it to you in the book, you know what you better do? You better line up. You better line up. You say, well, I don't care what you've always thought. I don't care what you've always believed. I don't care how strong your grandma believes something. If it don't line up with the book, throw it out. You know, I think we ought to respect our elders. I think we ought to respect parents and great men of God and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you what, buddy, when the rubber meets the road, push comes to shove, and we get right down to the nitty gritty. I'm going to say like Paul said there in Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. Because he said, the word that I've spoken to you, the same shall judge you in the last day. That's the thing right here is what we're going to be judged by. You know, I was preaching another night. There's a little old preacher up there. I wish y'all could meet him. I'd like to get him down here sometime. He acts just like Barney Fife. And he reminds you of it. And I mean, he's a live wire, son. He'll shout at the drop of a hat. I mean, and he'll shout. He turns around and he sits right on the front row. And if I said something he liked or something happened real good, he'd jump up and he'd go, woo! look right out at the crowd like that. I mean, that old boy, he was geared up this week. He had a time. We had a bunch of people saved him. And I was going around preaching one night, acting like I was the devil, putting people's fire out, you know. I said, the devil, here's what he'll do. He gets these 5-gallon buckets, and he goes around looking in the church, and he's going to try to find somebody on fire. There's a boy on fire. There's a boy on fire. You know, and I said, he's trying to drown out the fire in your life. And I started coming toward the preacher, and I went like that, and he grabbed his Bible and went like this. And I went, oh, that boy there, he didn't get his fire put out. I mean, they shouted, they laughed about that. I got that on tape, you ought to hear it. And then, boy, he just cut loose to shouting again. Now, that's the truth. That's the truth. That's what, he can think fast, man. He just done it just like that, just like we had it planned. I was going around there putting everybody's fire out, you know, and he was doing the right thing. The Word of God's what protects us. If you get out of the Word of God, you ain't got no protection. It's just like a cow getting out of the fence. You'll get run over. As long as you are within, blessed are they that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. I'm having to teach loud and fast this morning to keep myself awake. I didn't get home till I didn't get into bed till about 5:10 this morning, and so I'm preaching to wake myself up. And I want to tell you another in here. We got into Mark chapter 1 there and told you that lie there about the prophets. We got into Luke about the dying thief, and then we got on about Elhanan killing the giant. How many of you were not in here when we talked about Elhanan killing the giant? You were not in here. All right, that's 2 Samuel 21:19. Write that reference down. 2 Samuel 21:19. And the next time you run into somebody that says, what's wrong with the NIV? Say, well, it's got a lie in it. And they say, where does it have a lie in it? And you say, 2 Samuel 21:19, it said Elhanan killed the giant. And then you say, I've always believed David killed the giant. And they'll say, well, I do too. And you'll say, not in your Bible, in 2 Samuel 21:19 he didn't. A fellow named Elhanan did. Let's see what it says here in this JW Bible. 2 Samuel 21:19. Oh, and war arose once again with the Philistines at Gob. And Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim, the Bethlehemite, got to strike down Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like the beam of loom workers. Well, that's a lie. Elhanan did not do no such thing. What does your Bible say he did? What does your Bible say he did? Killed the brother of Goliath the Gittite. See, he killed his brother. You say, well, preacher, why does it say he killed him? Because they're taking it from a different set of manuscripts. The manuscript is wrong. Listen to this. This is the New King James. It's probably got it right. Yep, got it right. Got the italics in there. Notice that the brother of is in italics. Now, I believe your NIV is wrong. Your NIV is wrong on that because it's got... I wish I knew what I'd done with that thing. It's in here somewhere if somebody ain't got it. It's got it wrong because it says it's his brother. Now, we talked about Daniel, right? Talking about a son of the gods. Give him that one. Daniel 3:25. I showed the lady that run a bookstore this over in the mountains the other day. I was buying that NIV. And she said, boy, it's so good to see somebody buying one of those. And I said, well, I'm just buying it to teach our church what's wrong with it. And boy, she her eyes got big. She said, what? And I said, who was that in there walking around in that fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And she said, Jesus. Yeah, that's Jesus. And I said, in that Bible it ain't. In your Bible, it says the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, with a capital S. In the NIV, it says, a son of the gods. Little son,
many gods. You'd never in the world know that it was Jesus in the fire with the Hebrew children if all you had was an NIV. That right there is enough reason to say, hey, I want a book that says it was the Son of God in there in the fire with the Hebrew children. Now, you know what blows my mind? That people just say, yes, well, Dr. So-and-so uses this and it's a great thing and he's a great preacher and all that. You know, we must not read the Bible very much these days. Christians must not. Because maybe some of them have been using the NIV for years and don't even know what I just told you. Evidently, they ain't read it. That's another thing while I'm on the subject. You notice these people that use these other versions of the Bible, hardly, they don't read them all the way through every year. Most of them don't. They just pick it up and use certain verses out of it, claim some Psalms, live in the book of Acts or 1 Corinthians, and don't read it. Now, we're going to get everybody up here like we did last year at the Watch Night service. Everybody that's read the whole Bible through this year. How many of you look like right now you're going to make it? Raise your hand. If you're going to read the whole Bible through this year, amen. That's a good crowd of people here this morning. And if all goes well, I'm sure I've been through the New Testament and I don't know, time or two. And I'm Isaiah in the Old Testament, so I don't see no problem with me making it. And I'm sure that most of you will. And there's something weird about these people with these modern versions. They don't ever read them. And in our Watch Night service, we have everybody that read the Bible all the way through come up here and march across the platform. And we'll let them give a testimony or something. So it's not too late for you. You've got October, November. You've got 3 months. If you laid in there about 10 chapters a day, you could do it all between now and the end of the year. Amen? Don't watch one TV show between now and January 1st. You believe the Lord would be pleased with that? Have you read your Bible? You say, this is Sunday school. Quit preaching to me. Well, you can't help it. I'm brainwashed. Had you been doing this so long, it just comes out when you're in the grocery store, wherever you're at. We got a one-track mind. We're always gouging people. All right. Now, let me give you another one. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn your Bibles up. 1 Timothy 6. One of these stickers I showed you a while ago. First Timothy 6:10. Alrighty. Famous verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil. As far as I know, there is not one other version of the Bible in English on the market today that says that but the King James Bible. Every one of them change that verse. Even the New King James. Do you know that they tell you at the bookstores that the New King James don't change it a bit? It just takes out the these and thous? Now, they're either just ignorant of it or they're lying. One of the two. Let me see what it says over here. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Oh, it's not the root no more. It's just a root. There's a bunch of them. Now, one of the two, all the old preachers down through the years have been wrong, evidently. Or else, this is wrong. We've preached all these years that it's just not one of the many roots. It is the root. The love of it is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, I had a man say one time, somebody said something like, well, that couldn't be right. And I think, why? And they said, well, you mean tell me that Adam and Eve sin was because they loved money? They wasn't no money back then. Well, the Bible didn't say it caused ever sin. It said it's the root of evil. See? Of all the evil in this world, you look at it now. What causes prostitution? Somebody wanting money. What causes drugs to be sold? Money. What causes politicians to be crooked? Lawyers. Even maybe some doctors. What's behind the abortion issue?
Money. The love of it. People want that money so bad, and it causes them to cheat. It causes them to do their neighbor wrong. It causes them to cheat their employer. It causes them to cheat their employees. The root of the whole stinking mess. People say, well, what about these playgirls that's just out here fooling around the flesh? They go after the boys that can give them the nicest car, money. The nicest jewelry, money. See? It's the root. The love of money is the root of all evil. Everything you can think of this morning. You know, say that old Shusham over there, I don't know what his problem, other than being demon-possessed. Iran, all the stuff over there, the love of money is down at the bottom of it. But not in the new versions of the Bible. It's just not there at all. Now, does anybody have any questions on that right quick? Before I give you something else. It'll say it. It says on there, New King James. If it don't, buddy, look inside there and it'll always say the New King James. That's a good question, brother. I'm glad you asked that. Because a lot of times you walk in a bookstore and you'll think, hey, give me that. Is that a King James? They'll say, yeah, that's King James. And they won't tell you it's New King James. Now, if this was a Bible bookstore this morning, when you walked in the door, you'd see a great big display like this. And it would have somebody's picture here like Chuck Swindoll or somebody like that. I just picked him out of the blue. And he'd say, I recommend this modern translation. And it would be right there in your face when you walked in. And then you would see these other nice ones, pretty ones out there on the shelf. And then you'd say, well, which one's the King James? They're way over here under the shelf somewhere. You have to ask for them. Do you know that? They're honest. They don't stick them out. I don't see what their problem is. They're just pushing these other versions. It's like the people that run the bookstores are just trying their best to just get everybody to accept each other and everything. And all of us get together in one big happy family. And all be a little bit more tolerant and broad-minded and accept each other's views. And I'll tell you what you can't find. You can find all these different versions saying we should be tolerant of other views. And then you cannot find the chick comic books. Isn't that weird? What do you mean accept each other's different opinion? The reason, somebody tell me why you can't find the chick comic books in most Baptist bookstores. Right. It's called anti-Catholic literature. Because when Chick come out with his story on old Alberto Rivera, the Catholic Church flipped out. And buddy, the Baptist bowed down and kowtowed to him and said, oh, we're sorry. We don't want to offend our Catholic customers. What causes that? The love of money. There you go. That's right back. Fooey on the Catholic customers. If they don't want to read it, they don't have to buy it. I mean, I ain't got nothing against Catholics, nothing at all. I think they're as welcome as anybody. But fooey on the Baptist customers if they don't like it. Fooey on the Methodists, Presbyterian. They'll just say, well, here, we're going to put this stuff out. If you want to buy it, all right. If you don't, all right. What about us narrow-minded, fanatical, one-track mind, independent Baptists? Those other versions is against our beliefs. They ought to get them out of the store. Amen? But we don't put as much money into it as some of those other groups do. How'd I get off on all that? I'm going to show you some verses and words that are left out of the new ASV. The new ASV is called by some independent Baptist church leaders the best. I'm not trying to be derogatory when I make a mark like I'm getting ready to make. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But you take some of the greatest leaders in independent Baptist movement, such as Dr. John R. Rice, R.A. Torrey, people like him, Curtis Hudson that edits The Sword of the Lord. These fellows believe that the New American Standard Version is the closest version of the Bible you can get to the real thing.
They do not believe the King James Version is the best.
They use the King James Version in their preaching and teaching because the people out in the pew want it that way. But if you can ask, which one do you believe is the closest? And a lot of them will tell you the New ASV is. Now, I'm going to show you where the New ASV is not. Let's see. I don't have one with me. I'll just have to give you these. Turn to Matthew 1:25. Now look at Matthew 1:25, and I'm going to show you something. And here's where you find out the New ASV is a Catholic Bible. Let me show you this little nugget here. Look at Matthew 1:25. Talking about Joseph and Mary. And Joseph, he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know what's out in the New ASV? The word firstborn. Now, can anybody with a knowledge of the Catholic Church tell me why they would not want that word firstborn in there? There's a hand already. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. What is it? What is it? There you go, sister. Now, we're glad that these folks from New Jersey are down here to teach us. We don't know nothing but Baptists. We're just old country hicks. We thank you for that. That's the truth. What she's telling you is right. They don't believe that Mary had any other children. The Catholic Church believes that Mary stayed a virgin all of her life. So if the word firstborn is supposed to be in there, that implies he had other ones. She had other ones, see. Jesus was her firstborn, and you know the Bible says in other places that he had brothers, his brothers and sisters. They say that was his cousins, and he just said brothers and sisters, like me and you say, hey brother, hey sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. Now, you know where they get that? It's because they want to make a god out of Mary. And they believe that Mary went up to heaven without ever dying. Do you know that? Did you know the Catholic Church believes that Mary was raptured out and went to heaven and never had to die and lived in a sinless... She was immaculately conceived. She was born with no sin. People say, well, there ain't all churches are the same. Have you had your head looked at lately? You need to see a good shrink. They're not the same. They're as different as daylight and dark. You say, well, I talked to a Catholic and they said that they received Christ as their Savior. But you know how they believe it, they do it? When they eat a cookie on Sunday morning. See, when the priest blesses the Mass and he hands it to you and you eat it, you say, I'm receiving Christ. That has absolutely nothing to do with receiving Christ here in this church. In this church you come, you repent of your sin, you receive Christ in your heart by faith. Not in your mouth by chew. It's in your heart by faith. So you see that the New ASV is not an independent Baptist Bible. It is a Catholic Bible. Your King James is right. Anybody have any questions on that? Tell you the truth, I don't know where they got it, but I know they believe it. Kim? Is that right? Well, anywhere you go to a country like she's been to in Germany, there's where there's a stronger Catholic influence. You know what? Y'all folks, if you live here, we don't even know what a Catholic church is because where we live. You want to see the Catholic church, go up to Philadelphia. Go up to where some of these folks, where Marvin here, he can tell you about it. Mrs. Gardner over here, she can tell you about it. You wouldn't believe it. I've seen one up there in Philadelphia where they have the old dead saint's body in a glass case. The fellow had been dead 100-something years, and they got his body preserved in a case there for all of them to come and look at and admire. And then they talk about us being a cult, man. What if I died and you just put my body in a glass case? and preserved me. Wouldn't that be gross? Kept me in here 20 or 30 years. And Brother Danny, I go, wow. Who had their hand raised here? Go ahead, brother. Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody? Yes, sir, Brother John? There you go. Now, they would say that was his cousins. Or else, another way to get out of it is, you know, when Jesus said, who is my mother and who is my brother? They that do the will of God. That's the way they twist that scripture and get out of it. Brother Hitt? Maryland, that's it. Maryland. Yeah. Midnight? You mean? Oh. To get rid of the sin? Getting. Son, they got bars in the churches. And some of them in Florida. In the church. Back 20 years ago, I'm not sure that the Catholic Church owns about half Miller Brewing Company. I think it's Miller. I'm not sure. That was 20 years ago. I'm not sure it still is. Probably is. It's the richest organization on the face of the earth is the Catholic Church. Yeah, I remember that. I read Dr. Randall Lollygag. That was his name. It was Dr. Somebody Lolly. His brother used to pastor the First Baptist Church of Old Fort. And I'm not sure he's there anymore. And he blessed when the Slitz Brewery opened up in Winston-Salem, I believe it was, they had him come over and pray the dedicatory prayer. Really? I've got a copy of it somewhere. And he said, oh, Father, we thank thee for industry. You know, went around like that. That Southern Baptist preacher. All right, anybody else? One thing I already showed you there is the love of money. So don't forget that next week. We'll finish it up, and hopefully Brother John will be coming back with some good stuff here in a couple of weeks. All right. We're going to go ahead, brother. No, brother. Wouldn't you like to have Johnny Cash reading the New Testament? When God so loved the world. Might put a little folks in prison in there for you. An old fella said if I had Johnny's cash and Charlie's pride. He made up some kind of song about that. All right. You're dismissed. Ladies, fill up the choir now. Fill up the choir room. Men.